So, Father, as you know, as of currently right now, we have this coronavirus, or better known as COVID-19, going around, and it's causing the states to shut down, churches and congregations to be closed. And I wanted to give a perspective of somebody who has devoted their life to God, has given their life to the religious life, and become to follow in the vocation of the Catholic Church. And I wanted to give that perspective to the world as to like what has this virus has caused, not just to the Catholic Church, but to you particular as well. So my first question to you is, okay, how has COVID-19 affected your faith or beliefs?
Well, thanks be to God, Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, my faith in these days has been deepened. Why? Well, because I believe that God, Emmanuel, God with us, showed especially when he became human in Christ. And I carefully recall that Christ, God made man, suffered terribly, was crucified, died, while prayerfully entrusting himself to God the Father, buried, and was raised by God the Father 3 days later. He was seen by his disciples, lived for about 40 days, and before he disappeared from there and our physical eyes, he promised to stay with us always and everywhere. So I believe that God made man in Christ is with everyone, and with each of us now, and helping us pass through whatever sufferings each of us has. And eventually, each of us at the end of our lives will be able to calmly pass through the door of death to a new and everlasting life. And in the meantime, with Jesus, our risen Savior, we're doing our best to share his work of building up a new creation of loving, by loving each other and caring for our environment, our Mother Earth. And what came to mind during these days was the life and the writings of a famous person who suffered in the 14th century during the Black Death. Her name is Julian of Norwich, the mystic and an anchorite. And her famous words are often quoted, "All will be well, all will be well, all manner of things will be well." Right, if we trust in the risen Christ, and she, during her suffering, it was revealed to her, you know, how much God is with us in Christ, that he suffered. She had sort of an understanding of his passion. Moreover, I recall, I'm sure you have, the words of St. Paul in the letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 28, that God can turn all things to good for those that love him. Moreover, my faith, not only in God, but in the faith of human beings has been strengthened. But I see so many people generously reaching out to help the vulnerable. For example, a nearby school here in Chandler is offering free meals in an evening to needy children under the age of 18. Moreover, I've heard of retired doctors and nurses come out of the retirement to volunteer to help those who are affected by this coronavirus. And I see people, you know, are concerned about each other, praying for each other. So, in a word, my faith has not been deepened.
Oh, okay. So you're saying your faith has strengthened you through these times and has made you more prayerfully be able to pray more for those in need, especially during these hardships.
Indeed, yes.
Yes, and so basically we are to be like Christ and to be able to give those and in need that do not have those abundantly, such as food, water, money.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, that's fascinating, Father. That's so great to hear. My next question leads to, how's your religious community? Are they still gathering, or has COVID-19 affected your participation in your religious community?
Well, of course, obedient to our governor, Doug Ducey's orders, we closed our St. Mary's Masher Parish School, and of course we're no longer gathering all together in our church buildings for our normal religious services, which will be our Holy Mass, which people of course are missing very much, receiving Holy Communion. But we're still streaming a daily Mass service in English and Spanish every day, so that they can hear the word of God in the scriptures, be encouraged by the daily sermon, and be helped to pray for the needs of the world and join Christ in his redeeming sacrifice, thanking God always and everywhere. It's clear that the response we're getting from people through their emails and phone calls, that they do appreciate very much these transmissions, which is provided by our media ministry technicians with the YouTube and Facebook. They're finding it very helpful. However, our church is still open for private prayer, individuals with clear instructions about social distancing and with sanitizing facilities near the entrance. So we do encourage people to come and pray in the church. We can get places as quiet and so on.
Oh, okay. So that leads me to my next topic, is with social media and all that. Do you feel like that the word of God is spreading more across the globe during these times, since, you know, not all the congregations and churches, whether it's Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, are not able to gather together? Do you feel like the gospel is spreading out more, or has it stayed the same as far as, like, you know, with social media?
I think these people are now dependent on social media to hear the services, to hear the word of God. You can place at any time, even when they're not live. It's live, and then they can keep it and get it again, make sure on YouTube and so on. So I think people are, reflecting more of the gospel and so on, and appreciative. And of course, as we know, I think it came before yesterday, the Muslims began their month of Ramadan, their fasting and praying, which will be very difficult for them when they cannot gather together. So they'll depend also on the social media to show that we are a community together, we're in this together. Yeah, I think, as you're saying, I think it's in fact helping people to appreciate the word of God and what God has to tell us. Yeah.
Okay, that's good, Father. So my next question is your religious community supplying or engaged in any kind of community service in an attempt to help alleviate issues caused by the pandemic? If so, what are those efforts?
Well, obviously we cannot easily visit people's homes. We do rely, as I said, on streaming our services and preaching to keep contact with our religious community. But of course, we're still available. We're still available for baptisms, festivals, weddings, funerals, anointing of the sick, but with a limited number of people present. And of course, we have to make more contact through email and the phone calls and contact people or counsel them. However, three times a week, we still have availability for confessions and counseling. We sit outside on chairs at the same distances and so on. And obviously, we wear PPE to protect ourselves, but we have to go to the sick and help them, especially those who are dying. Moreover, on the last two Sundays in the afternoon, we spent 3 to 4 hours for what we called a drive-through testing, where people, our families, could come, stay in their vehicle, but they could have a word with us, give them a sincere prayer for them, and help us, which is very much appreciated. So the drive-through dressing, and so on. So this way, we've been able to participate and keep contact with our people.
Okay, and you spoke a little bit about confession. So I was just wondering, do you feel like people are coming to confessions more because they believe that this is God's way of, you know, obviously in Bibles it talks about there will be war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Do you feel like that God is sort of like warning us that this is now the end of the world, or this is the world as it seems to be?
No, I don't think so. And in fact, they've been given instructions by the physician that, many people are afraid of contracting this disease and so on, but they may be afraid to come out and so on. A few people are doing it, still coming. And they know that they can, of course, make a good act of contrition, pray to God, with the good intention of eventually, when they get the opportunity, applying to the supplementary profession. And so I think people are relying on that because naturally they are afraid of either if they have it or they're not the symptoms that they will be spreading it or that they could catch it. So there aren't as many coming to profession as not as good normally. Yeah.
Okay. And Father, I'm kind of curious to know, throughout your lifetime, because obviously I know you from personal experience, is that you are a missionary priest, and that you've right. been a priest for how long exactly?
Well, I was ordained in July 1956, so that's over 53 years.
Okay, so 53 years, plus obviously, you know, that's including the 9 years of seminary and throughout your life of childhood and all
right,
that.
Right, right, yes,
so
yes,
you're obviously yes. in your 70s and 80s. So my question to you is, has there any been anything like this throughout your lifetime, throughout the decades of, you know, of you traveling around the world and spreading the gospel?
Yeah, I served in Pakistan, India, Cameroon, United Kingdom, and now here, of course, in Chandler, Arizona. There's been nothing like this before. This is totally unprecedented. However, I have been in situations where there was some danger of the church being attacked by some people, a minority who may not have agreed with something that we were doing, whatever. But nothing like this, where we had to close our churches and so on and have only stream services, etc. Yeah. It's totally unprecedented, yeah.
Okay.
In my lifetime, anyway.
Yes, because I was kind of curious about that as to, like, you know, obviously, you know, throughout my lifetime, I'm only 23 years old, so I was just curious as to see, because in the history books, it only ever talks about, like, the bubonic plague or the Black Plague, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah,
that was...
Yes, I've read about these things and what happened, but nothing like this. Now.
Yeah, so I was just...
I'm nearly 81, so in my lifetime, I've never experienced anything like this.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so I was just curious to see, you know, maybe you had experience before in this and was able to give guidance to not only to your other priestly brothers, but to the whole congregation and the dioceses of Phoenix as well. And what do you think, with Easter already been passed, and, you know, Lent already been passed as well, and Divine Mercy Sunday. Do you, what's it called? Do you see, like, any hope after April 30th, which is when, you know, the stay-at-home order is supposed to end? Do you think everything will return back to normal, or would people be more hesitant to be able to come to church more or be able to participate in church events and stuff like that?
Well, from what we're hearing from people, they're missing coming together in church and receiving Holy Communion and helping one another, meeting one another, being able to shake hands and so on, and to meet their priests and so on. So I think, in fact, my impression is that they want that we're able to come back together, they will come equally and gratefully to God that they've come through this experience. Yeah. That's my impression. They're very, very deep. They're missing very much indeed, not being able to come to church, be together, celebrate the Eucharist, receive Holy Communion, the normal sacraments, and so on. Okay, well, that's really fascinating.
Yes, I do see your point as, like, you know, people coming to hold the communion and seeking Jesus during these times. I believe that is all I have, Father. I thank you for your time. Thank you for doing this interview with me and getting your perspective.
People are asking, you know, very much, so where is God in this, you know?
Oh, yes. Where is God in this, Father?
And that question people are asking, you know, I just keep in mind of what I said earlier on, that, yeah, God is with us. God is with us. He's Emmanuel, and he promised to be with us. And so I said that, you know. Moreover, you know, what we have to recognize when we're dealing with God, of course, we never fully understand God's way. You know, it's compared to a cloud of unknowing. And we can only penetrate that cloud with our trusting and love of God. himself. He's going to imitate Christ. He trusted him that as he was dying on the cross, he's saying, into your hands I commend my spirit. Moreover, you know, he promised to be with us, and, you know, when he described the Last Judgment, which you find in the Gospel of Matthew 25, he said, whatever you do, you know, to those who are hungry, thirsty, lacking clothes, a stranger, or sick or in prison, you're doing to me. And so, you know, I see that God is present, yes, in the people who are suffering, that are living his passion. And, you know, what this pandemic is certainly thinking most people of is that we're equal. You know, this virus doesn't make any distinction between a races, color, rich or poor. We're all dependent upon our God-given immune system, even with the best of doctors, if we do our best. And, you know, we're like disciples who are wanting a storm in a boat, and Christ was asleep in the boat. And they thought he wasn't concerned, and they woke up and said, are you concerned? We're not maybe thinking. And he calmed the storm, which he can obviously do, but he reminded them, of course, the words which are often quoted. And we hear in the Bible over 365 times at least, do not be afraid, you know, I'm with you, you know, I'm going through this with you. And I think people also in their homes are discovering in new ways. They are living together, they're sharing meals together, they're sharing their problems together, reminding themselves of Christ's word where two or more are gathered in his name, he is with them. You know, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. So, you know, I think this God is saying to us something through this experience, you know, that all our modern technology may not solve our problems, but being together as a family, realizing we have to help each other, support each other, pray together, that we can come through and find real value in life, and find a hunger for quality of life for everybody. But we must care for our Mother Earth and the whole environment. Anyway, thank you, Nicole, for asking me all these questions. I hope I've been in some way been helpful. It's not easy. I'm not used to giving interviews, but anyway.
No, thank you, Father, for your time, and thank you so much for being able to do this interview, and I hope everybody at ASU is able to learn a lot from this, especially with the Catholic Church and what they stand for and what they're doing as far as, as during this time in the pandemic. All right, Father, thank you so much.
Everyone in our prayers.
Of course, Father. We'll keep everybody in our prayers. Have a good day, Father.
Thank you, Father.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. That was Father John Taylor, the priest at St. Mary's Catholic Church. He's been a priest for 53 years, and he has never seen anything like this before. So I hope that gained a perspective as just to see what the Catholic Church is able to do as far as during this time in the pandemic. And we also gain a great aspect of just like that God is with us all the time. And during this time, he's out pouring out his love for one another. I thank you for your time for watching this video. I hope you learned a lot from it and enjoyed it. Thank you. Have a good day.